Thank you. The Bible tells us about life and about us. We understand that we have existence as spiritual being, but we also appear as material form. We read that there are celestial bodies, but then again there are terrestrial bodies, ones that belong to the spiritual realm, and the other is the form of material expression. Now each one of them brings a particular sense of identity, and according to our acceptance of who we are, we then identify with that aspect of being. How do we know ourselves? What do we call us? Where do we put us in this place in time? Well, if we are talking about time, then we are thinking from the material aspect of being, from that one that belongs to the world of form. We recently marked the passage of time as it relates to the date on the calendar. We acknowledge the arrival of a new year. Now, for some of us, this really is an important event. And so, as is our custom, on the eve of the new year, we gather together with our family and friends to welcome this new time that we call 2018. But you know what is a funny thing about time? I mean, when we actually consider it, exactly what is it? We tend to think in terms of yesterday, tomorrow, next week, next month, and even next year. Now, the only place that these have any reality is in our head. Experience tells us that the only time we actually have is that moment that we call today. We may remember yesterday, and we may talk about tomorrow, but the only time that we really have is today. At midnight on New Year's Eve, we say goodbye to 2017, and then we welcomed 2018. But when midnight came and went, it was still simply today. We have all heard that phrase, let us live like there is no tomorrow. Well, yes, let's do so, because there really is no tomorrow. When it supposedly arrives, it arrives as today. Now, we may ask the question, since this moment is really the only time of a true existence, then why do we spend so much time lingering over what is past? Or better yet, projecting ourselves into what it is we think will happen at some future date on this year's calendar? Well, I suppose there really could be many reasons. Personally, I think we linger over what is past because of our desire to remember, to call up and relive our memories. I think that we project ourselves into the future, hoping to make it better than the past. And we do so by remembering what worked and what didn't. Now, when the year 2017 came to an end, we threw that calendar in the trash can. But we can't seem to be able to do this with our memories. Now, when we do our work from that place of memory, we tend to judge us. You see, perhaps there were times that we felt we could have handled things a little differently. Or maybe there were things that we left undone, and we feel they need to be resolved before we can move on. Time, as it relates to human experience, brings both sorrow and joy. Loved ones have made a transition, and we miss them. This past year, we may have welcomed a baby or celebrated a wedding, or retirement. This is life, It is what it brings, and each has a message for us. Memory is a wonderful thing, but it can keep us stuck in both the joy and the sorrow of the past. And you know, the thing is this. This new time of experience, it will bring joy and sorrow that belong to its time. When we call up our memories, and we will do so, let us take the meat and leave that empty shell. Now, I think we need to stop thinking in terms of time and space. The only way we can do this is to think from the concept of eternity. We should go from existing in time to living in eternity. The concept of time, it limits and it restricts. The understanding of eternity frees and liberates. I think that we have all heard of those individuals who put together a bucket list. That is, they write down all of those things they would like to do before they die. Now, these are usually things that they have thought they would like to do, but they put off doing them for one reason or another. But at a certain age, we feel that time is running out, and there is an urgency to get them done. On a personal note, 2 years ago, Juanita, my very first roommate when I came to Washington, she came to visit. Her children had told her she was getting on in years. Can you imagine they did tell her that? So she decided to create her own bucket list, and I was on it. But I ask you, why do we have to wait until we feel the crunch of time to do what it is that we would like to do? Why can't we just do it? Well, there again, I think it is a matter of time. When we use the concept of time as our standard of measurement, we live with restriction and limitation. Time has a way of either running out or standing still, times when it seems that it will never end, especially when we are doing something we really don't want to do. When we live from the awareness of eternity, there is no urgency to rush through life trying to catch up in a particular way. Since today is the only time, then this is our time without end, which is actually the definition of eternity. Now, a tradition associated with New Year's Eve is the making of those resolutions. We resolve to do, act, or think in a way that we consider helpful and beneficial. Using the new year as an excuse to do things differently, it's like creating that bucket list, certain that this time we will actually do it. Now, as long as we live in this world, we will live to a degree as a human being. We will continue to gather together to welcome a new year and make resolutions. When we go from existing in time to living in eternity, our resolution would come from the place of eternity. The resolution would be from the awareness of the spiritual self, and it would be free of yesterday and tomorrow. It would be of the moment. When Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me," he meant now. And as long as he lived in eternity, now would never end. Eternity, it belongs to life, eternal life, that one of the celestial realm of being. Jesus said to the man on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Now, he didn't ask that man what he did that brought him to this place on the cross. It did not matter. What mattered was that today, that man had borne witness in a particular way, one that would allow him to go from time to eternity. Jesus told individuals that their sins were forgiven. Now, he meant that sins belong to the past, and there is no need to call them up or bring them to remembrance. The command, go and sin no more, does not allow us to do this. So what is the purpose of remembrance? What is the function of memory? When we live from the consciousness of eternity, life without end, what we remember is how it was before we entered into this material existence to experience life in the world of form. We remember how it was when we lived with our Father in heaven, in the Garden of Eden, in that time when we lived in our celestial body. Now, to live life from this place of remembrance requires us to live outside the concept of time and space. You see, concepts are the work of thought. Thoughts are personal, relating to what belongs to the terrestrial aspect of our being. To go from time to eternity means that remembrance does not come from thought. When we are true to our time of meditation, we find us in a place of solitude, a place of serenity, and we give no thought. Christ in us brings to our remembrance who we are and from whence we came. Humanhood cannot give us this identity. It knows of no such thing. Life moves us into new places. And when this life is the one of eternity, we are not the one doing the living, the moving, or the one resolving to do things differently. We finally understand what Paul meant when he said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me. When we unite with the infinite, we are in union with that which is beyond time and space. And remember, that is the only true existence. It is what is meant by being in this world, but not of it. Now, I think that most of us have reached that point in understanding, which allows us to consider the possibility of going from existing in time to living in eternity as our place of reality. It is reasonable for us to think in this way. And perhaps that should be our New Year's resolution, to go from time to eternity without defining what that means or how it should all come about. And you see, this is the challenge for us. It becomes a little bit of a problem. Because you see, in the past, we defined what we wanted and how we expected it to all come about. Those New Year's resolutions, they were based on what we anticipated would take place in our lives. And then along with those resolutions, we made predictions. Now, our predictions, they were based on what we expected and accepted would indeed happen. And you know what? We felt confident that we had knowledge that would allow us to predict and envision. And we were certain that we had imagined correctly. Truth reveals there can be no change in the outer until there is a change in the inner. Remember, All things proceed from the inner to the outer. And what comes forth mirrors the traits and characteristics of what it was that sent it into expression. Now, this is not new information. The form of the outer manifestation, it had its origin as idea. Now, idea is invisible until it's given visibility. The life in the seed gives visibility as fruit, as the flower, and as the vegetable. The unpleasant thought gives visibility to the unpleasant condition. The inner work out of which all things come into existence is an activity of consciousness. Toso to change anything in the outer, it does require a change in the activity that gives it visibility. We all know that this is law. Like produces like, as in mind, so in manifestation. Actually, I can make a prediction I feel confident about making. Until there is a change in consciousness, there will be no change in the outer. When we gathered together on New Year's Eve and made our resolutions, we may have been sincere in our intent to be true to the resolution. But simply voicing it was not enough. Hoping and wishing will not do it. To change the activity that gives visibility, we must do our work in the realm of the invisible, the unseen, the intangible, and all of this requires the absence of thought. Thinking keeps us stuck in those familiar patterns of yesteryear. The mental thought clings to what it knows is best based on its experience and reasoning. To give no thought frees us from the established method of times past. When we work from this place of consciousness, we are receptive to what goes beyond those words and thoughts. You see, neither time nor space has any action in it. To go from time to eternity lifts us above all that has gone before. The memory and the remembrance associated with what is over may be tossed in the trash can with last year's calendar. So let us discuss what life would be like if we were to go from existing in time to living in eternity as our place of habitation. What is eternal is of God. Eternal life is of God. And when we live from that place, we are in union with the activity that gives expression. Now, if I accept that mystical revelation of God as individual consciousness, then that is in agreement with a statement that the kingdom of heaven is within. That was Jesus' statement. Consciousness is within, meaning that heaven is within our consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is that place of the unseen action that gives visibility. Right in the midst of us is the activity that puts the sun, the moon, and the stars in place. Right in us is the activity that allows the oceans to ebb and to flow. Right in the midst of us is the activity that goes before us, making every crooked place straight. This is our reality when we live as the one of the eternal life. The self of this life, it does not unfold, grow into, or become anything. It simply is aware of what already is. And what already is whole and complete. Unfolding, growing, becoming, These are activities that belong to time. The eternal self is already these things, whole and complete, because it is of the finished kingdom. The self of eternal life rests into itself the moment that it is free of time and space. We call it enlightened consciousness, living in remembrance from whence it came. The self, that one of eternal life, it gives its attention to the kingdom of God, to that power within. And you know what happens? At that time, all fear of the world and what makes up the world ceases to exist. Oh yes, we may hear the news of famine and flood. We may hear of war and destruction, but we will not be moved. Yes, we will continue to observe the cycles of climate and season, the calamity of misguided thought and uncertain reflection. Jesus was not unaware of the human condition, but he gave his attention to the kingdom within. And it was this attention that fed the hungry and healed the sick. His consciousness allowed the activity of the kingdom to express, and it expressed in a way that was compatible with the perfect kingdom. And Jesus let us know that it was natural for us to do likewise. Let this be our assignment for the new year. Let it be our mission to be the one that leads all, giving attention to the kingdom. Let ours be that receptive consciousness through which the invisible activity of the kingdom may express on this earth plane. When we do this, we can predict with confidence in this way. Though 1,000 shall fall at my left and 10,000 at my right, no harm shall come nigh my dwelling place. Let us make it personal. When I abide in the secret place of the Most High, I predict that I would love my neighbor as myself. There will be fewer disagreements, fewer times of discord and unease. My state of consciousness would determine the nature of my year. Now it's true, I may not always express completely from the kingdom. There will be times when I find myself glancing at the world with the human eye, tempted to accept what it has seen and bears witness to. But this simply means that I have not yet completely attained the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Jesus had his time of temptations. We will too. But nothing is ever lost. To the degree that I attain, to that degree will it be given unto me. Each and every time we become still, we climb that mountain of higher consciousness, finding us once again above that world of condition and circumstance. And we do this many times, establishing our union with God, remembering from whence we came. When we resolve to serve the Lord in this new year, let us understand that we do so one moment at a time. There is no rush or hurry. In eternity, there is only now, and it is ours. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and give recognition to the invisible presence out of which all things are made. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we begin our meditation, we relax our bodies, we close our eyes. There are no distractions, nothing to disturb or concern us. In the solitude of this moment, God is here. Right in the midst of us, the indwelling presence invites us to turn within and be still. The world melts away. time stands still, and we remember from whence we came. In the silence we listen with the inner ear, we hear marvelous things. I have not left you. Be not afraid. I am here. I have prepared for you spiritual refreshment to sustain you through any trial or tribulation you are called upon to meet. And you are not alone. I walk with you. I feed you and I guide you. You carry me with you wherever you go. Heaven is within, available to the one willing to leave all and follow me. Let us choose this day to accept the invitation. Be still and be at peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.